What a strange weather. We're not out of the woods yet. Anyway, just leaving the library after watching The Professor with Johnny Depp. And kind of an apt movie in a way, you know, kind of the one of life's finality. Hello, kitty kitty. Funny, those women have this. Hey, kitty kitty. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, it's kind of it is light. I mean, it's Hollywood anyway, but there's definitely kind of that I will wear purple or I shall wear purple. You know that that poem about an old woman talking about if how she could, you know, do things again, that's how she would do it, you know, eat more ice cream, walk barefoot. Well, no, I think I will do. I will take that walk on that sunset stuff. It's very weird. It's completely overcast. You could barely see the sun. It has kind of a twilight quality to it. That evening, never got too crazily warm today. But I was able to. Little dog going crazy after another dog behind the garage door. Not likely barking. Anyway, but I still was able to take a nap today. It feels, I guess, a day. Normalcy, you know, kind of a weird word. Are you telling me not to go up? I think I will. It's quarter till, you know, seven. You know, still early. I still will want to do my kanji. And it's called The Vendor of Sweets, the new book by R.K. Rayana, I think it's his name. And I found a new one of his today. The new book of his. Anyway. It's really, it just doesn't look typical. It's strange. It's kind of a, I don't know how to label it. That the weather, it's like it's mist. I don't think, well, it's not smoke, obviously. I don't know. Anyway, but I'm going to go up on this one. Going to go up on a nice little trail here. I'll be out of that road in a second. Get the house pretty clean. I'll be making bread tomorrow. I don't need to. Well, you don't need to be making bread more than likely until Saturday or Sunday. But that will be I didn't miss. We have a little bit of traffic here, cars. Looking at getting away from that pretty soon. But so yeah, kind of a light day. Went to see Joaquin, you know, and of course he's fine with the device being sent to him and him checking it out for me. And he won't charge me. I told him I'll pay you. I like him. I like Joaquin. I trust him. So I think I've mentioned that before. And I found a device. I'm just waiting for the message from that person. And I think that's the one that I'm going to get. The one that makes more sense. The other one sounds too good. Just doesn't make sense. Anyway. But yeah. So getting a new iPad, and then I'll bring this one to him, see what he can do. If he can kind of glue it back on. A little bit of traffic, but I am in the clear. I am on the trail as of now. So yeah, a day, you know, did all the languages. Not all at once, you know, I had to break it. My energy level is definitely, I'm more tired. Definitely more tired. The body feels heavy. So I'm not sure what's going on, but there's definitely something going on. Maybe it's just life, huh? Who knows? Can see the trees swaying and the pine. Anyway, but So as far as I'm concerned, you know, I guess to each his own when it comes to the life, but I really don't have regrets, you know. Honestly, actually, with Glenda, I don't know what I could do different. The one thing I think I would, I would be more willing to explore my, the kind of fantasy, you know, me jerking off to a daughter. Daughters, actually, were mostly one. But that spell that I had, you know, still surprised, you know, that she put up with it. But I would want to, yeah, do something about that, because I don't. Yeah, I would like to have explored that, you know. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But that's something that I would do different. I believe we really loved each other, you know. The thing with work, I don't know. This is more than likely the one, that was a big problem, the inconsistency, you know. I've had quite a few jobs, you know. And for all my imperfection, I think I was okay in terms of, I was a spendthrift, you know. I didn't spend. I was quite responsible. Never did cheat on her. Get close, but never did. But I guess that's not really a badge of honor, honestly. I think it's really kind of one of the differences between women and women. That kind of biology seems to really drive it differently. And that doesn't make women better, just make them different. But you know where I am right now. You know, there is no, I don't have a dilemma. You know, I'm not in a conundrum in my life. It is quite straightforward. You know, what I'm doing, as long as I'm physically able to, you know, this is a path that is laid in front of me, and there is only one. So it's not like I don't need to brainstorm. I don't need a dream board, a vision board, whatever they call it. I think it's a vision board, maybe a dream board too. You know, it's, yeah, it is. What's in front of me is, there's nothing else, you know. I can't be wrong. I can't do wrong if there's no choice, you know. Of course, there's the part of me that comes out when I'm talking now in this format. It's just not the same in public. I'm maybe hoping that I can muster the courage, the fortitude, or the clarity, or the awareness to be why it's tricky, you know, this idea of honesty and then consideration. Hold on, I'm going to take my my jacket off here because I'm going on the uphill here, so it's going to be, I'm going to generate a little bit of heat. So here we go. You know, at times this idea of being non-confrontational, you know, and kind of submissive, I don't know. You know, I don't know if that's going to change, or would there be like a reason for it? You know, it's like, would that be better? You know, I don't know. Definitely Glenda was, I tested that water with her because it was definitely, it was not acceptable that that would not be the case. You know, that I could not be straightforward and honest, and norms, and you know, depending on who you are, and then some kind of characters that come out that may be charismatic or quite strong, kind of set the tone. And I find it, I don't know, I guess the best way that I found around that up till now mostly is to kind of just quiet. I think there may be a little change, because I think there has been things that have quieted themselves down a little bit. I think definitely relativism is helpful, because, you know, it doesn't have to be black and white. I don't have to be right, you know, and I don't have to defend. But I can't make a stand, and I can share and express whatever my conviction of that moment is. And of course, that would mean to be in a circle, quote unquote, worthy of it. You know, quoting the Bible, you know, to cast pearls to swine, you know, that it is important discernment. But if I am in that place, you know, to kind of throw caution to the wind and to just trust. If there is that value, the potentiality of, or not the potentiality, but just that there is something that warrant a higher level of integrity. And to maybe, you know, to rock that cradle. I believe there is a place for that. And I think maybe, you know, I'm kind of coming on my own when it comes to that. And maybe able to seize, you know, the opportunity. Something, I guess, in a way that I got out of that movie makes me think of, it's a very, very silly analogy, but kind of made me think of like a revamped kind of, you know, Dead Poet Society. But it is not about that, because in Dead Poet Society, it's about those coming of age adolescent and what they're facing, you know, as they're coming out of their cocoon. And in this case, it's about this teacher. So there is interaction with the students. Well, and actually, in this case, it's a university versus a private high school in Dead Poet Society too. So it is different, but it kind of, you know, carpe diem, you know, seize the day, you know, to make the most of it. That kind of literature angle to life, you know, that artsy-fartsy way that a lit teacher would take on, you know, in terms of what's of value, what the poet and the writers write about, some of them at least. And I'm not sure, actually, I kind of lost my thought here. So I talked about the finality of life, you know. And I guess, Yeah, to kind of like in a Buddhist tradition, you know, the Book of the Dead, the Native American, you know, I forgot which one talks about always have death on your right shoulder. Always let it be an advisor. Death. And, you know, it's, I think for me, to kind of feel that shift in terms of my the physicality, you know, not sure what it is, you know, but, you know, it kind of brings that home that, you know, there's definitely a possibility. Of course, depends how long I live, but that you never know. But that those are going to wane, you know. You need to be able to rely on that. And definitely the last few days have been challenging, you know, when that disruption came in terms of me doing the things that I'm doing and being in that rhythm and not being able to maintain that. And it's not new, you know, it's not new. So, I don't know. Like I said, it's, doesn't change anything. It's like, there is no movie I'm going to watch. There is no music I'm going to hear, no book I'm going to read. You know, an encounter, that's different. But those things are just not going to become a catharsis. I think of like Ram Dass. I have listened to him. And again, of course, I listened to him again today. And I really, really like it. It's almost like he has a monopoly as far as my psyche is concerned. And I've already mentioned Alan Watts for me is too intellectual, too left brain. There's just something that is so juicy for me about Ram Dass, about how he shares about his experience and his understanding. And but even that, you know, I realize a lot of that, there's a lot of that kind of biohacking, you know. Seeing that everything is perfect, there is a reason for it, and then yet here is something that you can do, you know, to make it go faster or not to have such a rough ride, you know, as if that would be of benefit. And I think it's normal to think that way, but I think it's kind of an element of skepticism to think that way, this biohacking. And, yeah, I'm kind of like to just let it be, just show up, you know, you feel what you feel, you own what's yours, you own your experience, the world, you clash with the world, and then you have the individual and the collective, and it's, you know, not about being right, not about having the right answer, it's just own it. And some people are going to be more articulate, some less, some are going to be prettier, uglier, some are going to look like they got their shit together, you know, some don't. And none of that matters. None of that matters because none of it has to do with anything that actually matters, you know. And at the end of the day, we're all who we are. And I believe that there's a reason for that. And I don't need any more than that. I'm okay. I don't have to like it to accept it. You know? And so, you know, though I'm, like I said, I really love Ram Dass to death. It's really, I mean, it does inspire me. Don't get me wrong. There's definitely some changes that have taken place inside of me. And he's a great contributor to that, you know? Because of the way it resonates. And he's definitely somebody who, I think I could dare say that more than likely has resonated the most in my life to the extent that he has. You know, this has got to be about, my goodness, how many years now? I would say at least 3 years, maybe 4 years. I don't remember. The reading didn't do it for me, but the listening to him. And it is still, you know, right now I have those 7 podcasts. And I can't let them go. Because I'm like, this is still so freaking good. I'm not done. I have not sucked the marrow out of what you're sharing here. The other stuff, yeah, I'm done. You know, that's out of 200 and I think 47, you know, I'm down to 7. And there were some others before, but eventually I got through them and I'm like, yeah, we're done with that. We can let go. And, but yeah, that's the one thing definitely. It's not like that's the only one thing that I don't share his view. He's definitely also more politically minded, more activist, which of course I'm not. So that's not really in terms of not agreeing, but that's just a different lens. And I don't believe in, would it be fair to say I don't believe in activism? No, that's not true. Yeah, of course it can make sense. If that's who you are, then be busy activist, you know. Even Ram Dass talks about that. It's like, be who you are, but don't expect it to be the way it is because of how you feel about it. Just be it, and don't worry about the outcome. Just do your part. You know, the idea of surrender, the idea of accepting, you know, the perfection, the horrible and beautiful perfection of things. And at the same time, well, if your path is to fight in such a way, then do embrace it. You know, it takes a village, and to each his own, you know. And the kind of the irony, well, obviously he's not just an activist. He's definitely a spiritual teacher. So, because if he was just the activist, you know, if the framework was activism, then I would not be interested in him because that's just not my cup of tea, you know. And like I said, to each his own, I have no problem with it, you know, but it's not better or worse than anything else. And though you would say it's more politically correct to say than an activist fighting for whatever, equality or children, women's rights or gender equality or race equality, you know, you would say that, wow, you know, that person is really valuable. But I'm like, I don't believe that. I believe that the serial killer, the rapist, you know, the pedophile, all of those are too, you know, they are not a mistake. They belong. Now, in what capacity? That's not what I'm inferring here. That they should have the same status, social status. Not at all. But I choose to believe that this is not a mistake. You know, there is, whatever you want to call it, a spiritual, evolutionary reason for them to be here. Not that they will always be here, but it doesn't matter to me. That doesn't matter. You know, and if anything, I guess I do feel, you know, some sadness when I think about those people who are just automatically marginalized, you know, because it's not acceptable. And I have no beef about that, you know, but that's their path. So it's really, sounds like quite a painful path to me, you know, if you're a pedophile or a rapist, all those are the things, you know, that attracts you, that give you a sense of meaning and purpose and joy, you know, by inflicting suffering on other people. So I think I really feel like I stand on quite the firm ground. You know, that, of course, you know, when I'm thrown off the saddle, like I've been lately, you know, when it's been harder to maintain my routine, you know, it's challenging in its own right to be okay with that, playing with actually being okay with being uncomfortable and disoriented, not to realize that what I have in place is not me. It is not the solution. It is just what's making sense. And maybe a reminder to not hold on too tight to that. And I say it, but it's kind of easier said than done because there is kind of a reward, you know. I reap a reward from behaving in that way. feels good. And maybe the idea is don't take that so seriously, you know, take it with a grain of salt. And that's not always easy, because I'm a rather, really, simple-minded kind of a guy. You know, really. Sometimes, you know, I kind of feel like a, I wouldn't say a schmuck, but kind of, yeah, kind of a clueless, you know, naive person. You know, kind of a part of me that keeps trying, you know, to kind of hang on, and I keep finding myself on my ass. You know, it's, there is this, I guess at times what looks like sustainability, but then it's not, or, you know, it's not the answer. It is not my answer. And so it's kind of an interesting game, you know, doing something because it feels right to me to do something. And of course, pretty much all the wise guys talk about that too, that action is important, you know. I guess unless you're depressed. But, you know, even if I am, then I'm not that kind of depressed person. You know, it's, I will look for something to do. You know, I will look for a way, for a path to that. Always. However insignificant it might look on the outside, you know. Like pulling weeds or whatever. But it is an action. It is to do something. And I don't have, it is also interesting the idea of thinking about mystics, you know, because there is definitely quite a high dose of suffering, you know, I think forbearance, you know, tolerance. I think those people on a physical level, they can be definitely figuratively or literally a heck of a suffering that comes with it. And, and I guess to be able to bear that and to through that somehow, you know, emerge. And for me personally, I'm not interested in, you know, sainthood or, you know, getting to a place of status. Though, of course, it's attractive as a human being, you know, to be looked upon by other people, to be worshipped or, you know, to be revered. I mean, that's got to be very, very alluring, you know, such position, you know. Heck, I can even just having Juan, you know, telling me, asking me, what do you think, Anthony, you know? What do you think about bread? In case of gluten and, but, you know. So you get to a place where somebody looks up to you and asking for counsel, you know, and respect, you know, regardless of whether they're going to be doing anything about it. That's not what I'm referring to. But they do. You can feel that you're being looked up to. And that's definitely, that's kind of a buzz, huh? It gives you a buzz. And definitely, that's for sure. I can feel that even Juan is becoming more problematic because I don't believe that. And I don't want that, you know. And of course, in the case of, well, it doesn't matter because as far as practical, as far as the pragmatic side of it, you know, the case that, you know, it's going to ask me things until the rooster comes home, you know. It can go on forever and it doesn't mean anything to him. Like I said, I'm pretty sure there won't be any bread making. You know, it's like a lot of the world, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think for me, it's taking me such a long time, you know, to not take to face value. But people say to believe that you really mean what you say, you know, not that I have the answer, but, you know, to not even try to make it sound like you're really asking. You know, and then you're being told, and then you don't do anything about it. It's really weird. It's really strange to me. And you can tell the guy is hurting, you know, he's worried. But yet, kind of reminds me of my mother. And when I realized that, you know, that's when I put barriers, I put limits, and I put condition with her. Because if not, it was like I call her that sieve, you know, that never gets filled up. And in a way, I feel quite similarly with Eva, you know. And the fact that we don't really have, that's my older sister. Yeah, I don't really have a bond. I just don't. Well, I'm out of the world here. Getting to the top of the climb. You know, with my younger sister, there is something, but it's just, like I said, my family is just something that occurred biologically, you know. There was that's a requisite for you to land here. And, you know, some people, they end up ending along, literally. But me, it's figuratively that it's like, yeah, I just don't. I have that family. There's no problem. There's no issue with it. And at the same time, I don't have any real dealings with it. You know? And there's nothing wrong with that, too. And maybe it's part of my romantic self, you know, that's kind of holding on to that idea and wanting to belong, wanting to find a place where I can be, you know. And my past, obviously, hasn't been conducive to that. I had it with Glenda for a while. So, and maybe I guess, you know, for me at least, you know, because I was loved. I really felt, you know, I would say definitely the closest to unconditional love than with anybody else, with Glenda, you know. And then what? So to judge a tree by its fruit. And for me, I seem to definitely be a ravenous. I have a ravenous appetite for that topic, for that theme, you know, that recurring theme in my life. Is that really it? Is that really, really producing the fruit? And the answer is no. And I know now, you know, that there is not any one thing or even any one combination of things that is it. Heck, it could rain on me. It's really weird. But it's part of the game, you know. So I'm going to definitely be more than likely crossing paths with a, you know, bunch of people. And it doesn't mean, you know, not anybody has to be the real McCoy or to fulfill all the requirements to check all the boxes for me to be okay. I don't mean to imply that, but there's got to be a bond. There's got to be a quality of connection. And if it is, I'm kind of all in. Because if I look at Dorito and Nora, you know, and I'm talking about my experience, I'm not talking about them, but I did feel that. And however shallow it was or deep, it's irrelevant. There was a quality of it. And yes, and that made it worthwhile. It didn't matter the length of it, you know, none of it matters. But there was something that kind of felt like home in a way, you know, a home away from home, like that I belong there. Anyway. And definitely now, you know, where I am, I guess since those guys, it hasn't been, you know, I haven't had that. So it's been definitely a winter for that. It's been very nice to have Juan's family, but no, there's no, you know, that was above the surface. It was not even shallow. It was above the surface. So it was nice. You know, it was a little community. But, you know, and nothing really, well, it doesn't matter. it just was what it was, and it was just fine. So, well, I guess I could go down that way. Why not? I'm going to stay in the pines instead of staying exposed here. I can put my jacket back on because definitely now that I'm done climbing. What a strange weather. And I guess it looks like a... Well, it doesn't matter. I don't want to get lost in silly. Woo! I have a little sweat on my back. Yeah, and I'm going to change my shirt tonight when I get cleaned up. I debated about taking a shower, but most likely we'll do it tomorrow. So, definitely the theme, the recurring theme is, as Krishnamurti would say, I don't mind what is, to go with the flow. That doesn't mean that you don't make a stand, but there is this unconditional ownership of each moment, or that belongs to you. That at times it's going to taste nasty, but that it's yours. And that's definitely something that, as of late, I've been deresien, as of late, I have been working with. And also the discernment, meaning there's a place and a time for all of that. So to really fine-tune that consideration and that the art of discerning. Hold on. You know, with whom, when, and how. Well, the how, no, not really. But, you know, with who and the when. And if or not. You know, because say or not saying anything, it doesn't matter. It's why you choose to do that. And I do feel like those few times where those situations where it was really controversial, you know, me speaking up, you know, that I feel that part is okay, actually. I think that part is okay, but those are kind of the clear-cut black and white cases where it's like, it was almost impossible to ignore it, you know, or to minimize it, you know, to rationalize it. It was like, no, something isn't right here, you know, and we're going to have to. And then, you know, and in some cases to set it up to where, no, we're going to have to make it to where I have to say something. Like with the guy with Alex from Colombia, like with Pilar, but me looking in a phone, you know, those few times that I did it. And I was like, no, you're going to come clean about that. So I do have, definitely when it comes to a sense of integrity, but possibly refining it as to, or in relation to, maybe at time there are still moments where I find way out of things, where my knees wobble. And I'm able to minimize it, and I'm able to get rid of it. So maybe there are some of those things where, yeah, you know. So looking toward the future to really be in tuned with myself, with where I am. It's like, what do you really want to do here? You know, not that, or maybe to say, well, it doesn't matter. That it's like, possibly I could see. I can definitely see room for improvement. And I think relativism is going to be helpful because I don't take things as personally. I don't need an apology. I don't need to be right. But it's like working on expressing one's truth, one's experience, and how I have felt about something. That is really more about that. Like I'm thinking about Nora. I guess we'll have to go back to that podcast to find out when that was. But there was this thing about her, you know, feeling like she was kind of skipping a responsibility. And I was kind of annoyed. There was a part of me that was kind of like, But then I was like, you know, not a big deal. And of course, she was smoking quite a bit of pot. So, you know, there was attenuating circumstances. And I think that was fair. But then I realized, no, that stuff is not going away. So, one evening, basically, was like, hey, I need to come clean with something here. you know, it's not going to be that comfortable, but I need to, out of our friendship, you know, and what we have, and to keep things clean and even. And it was interesting to express it, having to work really hard, not to justify, not to overly prime it, you know, and to kind of basically say it, because I have a tendency, you know, and yeah, to kind of basically express, you know, what I felt. And there was a little bit of me expecting, I guess, you know, way of her owning to it. So some of that is to be worked, because really, to me, I don't want expectation coming out of it. I want to be able to just express my, yeah, to express what I felt, what it's like for me. Because, number one, I don't know what her experience is like, you know? In her case, you know, when it came to the money, I think when all said and done, I think she was okay on money. I really do. I think she comes from a well-off family, actually. But that doesn't matter. That's irrelevant, you know, because I was also in that situation being like, you know, if it's something that she wants, you know, for some people to take care of her and then to do that, if that's really what it was, then I was like, I will be okay, because it's not like we're not talking about $1 million here. You know, it was really the principle. There was something that felt like escapism about her. And of course, it takes one to know one, right? Mm-hmm. But the point, actually, my point is, it doesn't matter what it was. That's irrelevant. It was actually never that important. But what was interesting is seeing myself. And I was wobbling about it. It's like, why is that such a big deal? Why am I so... Why do I feel on such shaky ground? And for the life of me, I don't know. I think it's just a part of me that's quite sensitive, you know, that is just so skin deep when it comes to, I guess, being rejected or how I'm being viewed or belonging to, also kind of being afraid that out of that, you know, I might be rejected. I think it's a trifecta effect, you know. To belong, to be rejected, to be judged, you know, and not to have the kind of love, you know, from other people. But also realizing that if I do have a bond, if I do have a connection of value, then it becomes almost, oh, shit, yeah, this is one of the reasons I don't really come down here. It can be very slippery. It's because it's impossible for me not to keep that slate clean, not to have those things out in the open. I just can't. And that's always something that's been with me. So that kind of integrity kind of really comes out for the people that I really care about, or people that I value in my life. For the rest, I couldn't give a fuck. And I wouldn't, because it wouldn't make sense. Because there would be an emotional layer to it that would not come out, you know. It would remain like, if I was to somehow go to talk to Juan and say, Juan, you know, here, you're so full of shit, you're telling me all those things, and what happened to your actions? You know, there are a lot of words, but there are very, very few actions. So it's like, I can't take you seriously, you know. And out of that, that's some meaningful conversation could take place, and it could be things that, you know, you could express about God knows what, you know. But that's not going to happen, because that's not where it's at, you know. And I feel confident to say that, and there's nothing wrong. But, you know, he just is who he is, and I accept that. And so, I've made my mind, I've made my peace, and there is no unfinished business when I leave here. I don't need to ever see him again. It's fine. Everything is kosher when it comes to that, you know, because that relation. So I do feel that. You know, that my discernment, I feel okay about it. And of course, if I was going to be staying here, then it would be different. Meaning that then I may, you know, because I do value my relationship with him and his family. So they may have to look for ways, you know, to kind of clean the slate differently. but it would be different. Whoa! Yeah, I haven't gotten hurt yet, but definitely something that I haven't had to put up with, you know, serious injury. So far. Yeah, we're back here, coming back to the road pretty soon. I can't build up momentum, Anthony. Well, actually, this is about the end. I've passed the most tricky part. Anyway. So, I was thinking of the man who wasn't there, but it was like almost 2 hours. The professor turned out to be perfect because it was an hour and a half. The guy was about 15 minutes late to arrive. But it's all good, you know. I got nothing to complain about, you know. And I didn't need to be there anyway. I was going to be waiting until about 6:15 anyway, 5:15, and then turn around and go back home because I'm okay. It's not like, yeah, I don't need to be there. But it's kind of cool to go there for kind of a little change. Kind of, it's my Starbucks, I guess. No. But I can't stand the bars here. You know, they're just too loud. The social life of a bar is just not for me, you know. So the library is definitely more my game. So, yeah, it's kind of nice to have that time of the day where you just get out of the house, you know. And be somewhere else for a little bit. To be able to do that, it's quite nice. And it's ridiculously convenient, you know, when it comes to me. So, yeah, quite grateful. Yeah, definitely no sunset today. It's completely obstructed. Whatever that layer of, I don't know what to call it. But I don't feel any dew. So it's like, I don't know what kind of a cloud that is. So, but it's not fog. Yeah, there's no moisture. Anyway, so it's cloud. Anyway. Though I didn't think it was going to rain, but you just never know. Yeah, actually, we're good. You're going to stay with me more than likely. Oh, we're back to the home, so it'll be about an hour. There was a short version here. I didn't keep on because of the wind. See how considerate I am? I have no idea about the quality of my recording. Anyway. And I guess, you know, thinking back on a movie, you know, in the case he's a father and a husband, or his marriage is kind of, it is what it is. Kind of, it's, I would say, more than likely not atypical as far as dysfunctional, you know, keeping the peace. And kind of made me think of, actually, American Beauty is a set of it, you know, kind of a very clean dining room. Though the woman was more of a mess in this one. In the case of Annette Bening in American Beauty, she was, you know, she was kind of keeping things together. She was the fist of the iron fist, you know. And you kind of had that too a little bit about the man that's kind of like castrated, you know, pussified. I like that way that George Carlin called it, the pussification. Though that would imply, you know, that what it means to be a man, you know, would be something different than that. And I don't necessarily agree with that either. But I do agree that there is definitely, at times, some men can definitely feel overwhelmed, you know, or just pressed upon by that female energy. And having either have trouble to find a voice, or, yeah, just being non-confrontational or too insecure to stand the ground. And, you know, everybody's how they are. And I definitely do hope that I've learned my lesson. And in all fairness with Glenda, there's so much of me that wasn't there, you know, when I got into it. So I could appreciate, but it's like, in all fairness, you know, I can't help becoming something I had no idea, you know, I was going to become. And almost kind of like I never felt the permission before. You know, when you kind of feel that kind of conditional love, then it kind of gives you some wings, you know, and the irony that you can, in a way, figuratively or maybe literally, come and bite the other person's ass in the ass on the wraparound. But of course, that's not the intention. It's possibly inevitable, you know, part of the evolution of the relationship. When one person is quite anchored, you know, you know, Glenda, you know, was quite anchored in terms of her understanding where she was, what she wanted. And for me, it was like, as I kind of blossomed, it was like, I don't know, sky's the limit. Let me find out. But I'm just, it's not that. And in the sense of feeling like you were responsible for the other well-being, and me coming to a place where, like, I'm not, you know, and it was tricky. And defending that place, you know, when I felt like I was being encroached, and it was quite violent because it was quite immature. But then again, looking back, it's like, I don't know how else to do it, because it was almost like a part of me sensed it, but I was not quite fully conscious. And I was unable to articulate, but it was just like, get the fuck away. Do not go there. You know, do not throw your shit on me. You know, I'm not responsible for how you feel. That I don't accept. I'm playing a part. I am in it. I could be, you know, something that triggers that, but it's, I'm not the genesis. I'm not the real catharsis, you know. And I just did it the best that I could at the time with my understanding. And that I do not have any regret, you know, because she knew she was safe, you know. Though I yelled, she knew that I would never hit her. It's just not me. You know, I can see. I can actually see why some men do. You know, even though it's not in me, but I can relate. I can empathize. Because you get to a place to where this thing is happening and you're not even, you're more than likely acting out of a, from a subconscious or unconscious level. And you just lose it. You know, but it's kind of a desperation. You know, it's like not being heard, not being respected. And maybe you're not able to articulate or set up boundaries or whatever, but yeah, in those relationships at times, you know, those boundaries can easily blur. And that person can ramshackle them. So let's see, you know, moving forward, if I'm able to own that more, if I have matured. Because yeah, of course I still like the idea. Of course I do. I think I always will. Of a community, of a meaningful relationship. I don't see that changing. I don't see how that could. You know, being like me stopping to be a man. I think part of the human condition is, yeah, it's also a social condition. It's something that you will aspire to. Kind of looking for a place, you know? I'm not Jeremiah Johnson, you know? Reference to a movie, but with Robert Redford, who after losing his wife, kind of goes into the wild. But you know, those people who just kind of like Robinson Crusoe or that kind of a personality, you know, it's just not me. I have no interest in that. I have no claim on that one, on that stick. Anyway, so about 5 minutes more than likely from the house. Yeah, interesting. Kind of a twilight evening. So it's going to quietly get darker. So strange. People are strange when you're strangers. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are all evil when you're down. When you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange, and no one remembers your name when you're strange, when you're strange, when you're strange.